let me know where I can move. I'm in your hands. I like the songs. Most of the songs that you sang today was in Spanish. So I was, since I got, I've been since Wednesday in meetings in Akron, I don't know where, Akron, PA, at the MCC main offices. So I've been in meetings since Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday was from 7:30 to 7 o'clock at night with all MCC boards from across the nation, including Puerto Rico. And on Saturday, when I left my last meeting, it was about 15 to 5. When I woke up out of the office, I saw David and Lisa. I said, Lord, I'm safe. I think I throw up all my carries, all my baggage, and say, I'm home now. And when we drove to Lisa's and David's house, it's just like my country. Laura has been there, and DJ and the other ones, Chad, that have been in Puerto Rico, girls over there too. So it's curvies, trees, and the only thing I like most of this season is the colorful of the trees. You know, it's a beautiful place, and you have a beautiful house of worship. So, and you have a spectacular musician ministry. So be blessed, be blessed. And this morning I'm nervous. I used to speak fast in Spanish. I don't imagine myself in English. It's been a long time that I don't preach in English. I used to live in Buffalo, New York. I was escaping from my life. Yeah, the Lord, I've been born and raised. I met the Lord at the Mennonite Church in my hometown at the age of 5, 6, up to, I would say, 10 years. And my uncle, he met the Lord at the Methodist Church near town. So he asked my mom to take the kids to the church. My mom said, well, Mennonite, Methodist, that's not the difference. So I was born in the Methodist Church. But I used to like things from outside the church, but also I like the things for the church. I like the role plays at the church. I like to play music for the church. But I also like to hang out with my friends. So the Lord have to stop me in some part of my life, and I decided to move to Buffalo with my sister. She was appointed as a pastor in a Hispanic Methodist church in Buffalo. So I decided to go with her to help her. But I know the Lord have another plans. So outside of my hood, the Lord started working with my life and remind me the call that he had made on the altar praying. Remember that at the age of 15 or 16, he said, I separate you for my word. I separate you for my work. And I start inside of me laughing. I said, well, you're crazy. And then the guy who was praying for me, he said, hey, I didn't laugh. It was inside. He said, why you doubt? Why you laughing? It's me, the one I'm calling you. So I said, okay, Lord, it's you. But at the time, at the age, I forget what the Lord was, maybe I tried to forget what the Lord told me that day. And at the age of 27, 28, the Lord started working with my life. So I turned back my heart to Jesus. And I said, well, Lord, here I am. There was a son in the handbook in the Methodist Church said, who shall I send? So I went to a retreat that the name of the retreat was, Is God Calling You? And I said, I like that topic. I might go. So I went to the retreat. And the first song that they played was that one. Here I am, Lord. Yes, it I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I see. Up to there. Next verse, I will ruin it. So. And then the response of the son was, yes, is I, Lord. I have heard you calling the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. So that day, I decide to take everything that Jesus had for me. And the last verse that you sing, I give my heart to Him. Since that day, the Lord been working with me, and I moved back to Puerto Rico in 1994, and I was at the post office sending my child support for my kid in Milwaukee, and I saw this beautiful lady, She said that she was all messed up, but for me, I saw like a princess. So I say, hey, how you doing? So. We have a service tonight. It's a different young adult. We're going to get together from different churches. You want to come? Let's go. She was to the Mennonite Church in La Plata. I was in the Methodist Church. So that day I talked to a friend of mine. I said, hey, I like that girl. So hook me up. And then my friend said, no problem. She got to my wife now. I say, watch out. He's behind you. And I know him from the past. He was a bad, bad boy. So I thought she was helping me out. She didn't. So, but when the Lord had plans, nobody can stop between them. So that was on Friday. Saturday, I asked my sister, call her. Let's go to movies. Let's do something, but plan something. So my sister called her, and we make a setup to go to movies. But when I stopped to pick her up, my brother-in-law, which is a pastor right now, so my sister said, hey, wait for me. I go with you guys. So we ended up four. It was supposed to be three, and I got planned with my sisters to leave her behind and keep on going. So we ended up four. And Sunday, I said, you have any plans after church? I said, no, I don't have no plans there. I pick you up after church. No problem. Then I switched with my cousin. She have a two-seat car. Said, today my brother-in-law won't jump over. So I switched. I have a 4Runner. I switched with my cousin. So she took my 4Runner. I took the sport car, T-top out, and we went all the way down to the coast of the island. And since that Friday that I met her at the post office up today, for the last 20 years, we have been together praying the Lord to help us, and we've been blessed each other. Right now, she's flying to Puerto Rico from Washington. So the plans was to be all family here. My kids, my wife, and I, but couldn't work it out. But I promise that if you resist me today, I will come back at least as a visit to be with you, with my family, and have great time together. So, giving you a little feedback on myself, I've been a pastor for the last 4 years and a half in the Mennonite Church in Puerto Rico. I happen to be the moderator for our conference, and I represent Puerto Rico in MCC Board East Coast, where you belong to. You belong to Ephrata, MCC, whatever. I belong to MCC East Coast, and we have a partnership with Atlantic Coast Conference, Puerto Rico, and Atlantic Coast Conference. That's the relationship that we have, Puerto Rico, with the church here in United States. We, about 25 years ago, we decided to step a little aside from some decision that Mennonite USA as a global was making. We were not agree, but we decided that walking by ourselves was kind of rough. So about 7 years ago, seven-something years ago, we decided to make a partnership with Atlantic Coast Conference. So we have a cross function, you know. Our pastor can come over and work on Atlantic Coast Conference. Atlantic Coast Conference pastors can go work in Puerto Rico. So we have a nice relationship, a friendship relationship. So that's why we are involved with Mennonite USA. And also we have some connections in Latin America. And right now, for the last 12, 15 years, in joint venture with the Mennonite Hospital, we have been working in the Dominican Republic. It's a real poor, poor, poor place. So we are having some small clinics, and we have some volunteers working there to help those kids, especially the kids, with health and all the things that they need. So we've been busy down in Puerto Rico and blessing. I use a verse from the Bible that said, "Give with grace that you have received by grace." So in 1943, people like you decide to leave your house, go to Puerto Rico without knowing the language, without knowing where they're going, the culture, and they've been there for help. Instead of going to China for the Second World War, whatever you said, they decide to go to Puerto Rico to serve. And since 1943 up to today, if we have, if we are Mennonites, and if we are like we are, is thank you for you guys that decide to go down there for serve. Because the one, in Spanish we have a phrase, yeah, si no sirves, no sirves. If you don't serve, you don't serve. So we are here to serve. So I know we have a second service. I like to talk a lot, but I'm nervous. I'm trying to get myself into the point. I would like to go in the book of Mark, chapter 2. And we're supposed to be finished by what time? I know the Holy Spirit have a time, but human time, what time? 9:30, 20 minutes, okay. Do you believe in miracles? Oh, Lord. Take me to the place, Lord. We sing that in Spanish. It's a beautiful song. You took me back home. So my hair is still crimpy. Llévame al lugar, Dios, al lugar secreto, para estar allí, allí en tus brazos. Llévame al lugar, Dios, the same way. Take me to the place, Lord. Amen. I bless you guys. In the name of Jesus. Do we have the verse? Because if I read it, nobody will understand. Unless somebody volunteer want to read it in English here. Somebody will come over and read it, because... Ah, yes, we have a volunteer. It happened to be. We always have to be the volunteers. Chapter 2, 1 to 5.
Chapter 2, 1 to 5.
Yes. I'll allow you to use the microphone.
Thanks. Mark chapter 2, 1 to 5. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Amen. I ask the Lord to bless us through this word so we can share it with all the peoples that we encounter in our everyday walk. So, we have a story here about five men. If you recall the passage, there was four men and one man. They've been decide to carry this man who was sick. He couldn't walk. So in the story, we have five persons. They got compassion. They got commitment. They got solidarity. And they're willing to go up to the end. And they have faith. So the story changed because when those four men with the paralytic get to the place was crowded. So they encountered some difficulty, obstacles, and there was no way to get to the end of the journey that they decided to take. So the question that they ask, what are we going to do? So they say, up to here, the character will be, if I will be one of them, I will be pleased, because I will say, man, I try. You see, we did our best. We carry you up from where you live? From Green Lane up to where we are? Wherever we are? So we carry you up. We did our best. We forced ourselves. We believe that we can take you to Jesus. But you know, it's packed. It's no way in. The scripture said that people was so many people, they were not to the door. Outside the door were people around. So if I will be one of them, I would say, sorry, man. Maybe next time. And what I like for this four person, they got determination. When you add determination to your action and you go forward and you keep on going, you get result. So the part that I like from this story is that they have that determination. They decide to go beyond the obstacle. They decide to go beyond the difficulties. And they surpass everything that would hold them back in order to get what they want. So from my side point of view, I would say, wow. And I don't know how many of you guys have been obstacles to get to Jesus. I don't know how many times you decide to reach something more in your Christian life that something holds you back. I don't know how many times, like I did, I tried to serve the Lord in the best way, but when as soon as I step out of the church, was so many things that I like that eclipse, maybe blurry my decision to keep on going on the Lord path. And when I go outside, I found something, a lot of things that I like, so make me go all the way. So in this case, or in this story, we have four men. I don't know which one of them, either the sick man or the other four, know about Jesus. And they decide to take this person to Jesus. And when you go in the other part of the story, is when Jesus comes to the scenario. Is he? Say yes if I don't say right. You know, you say. Then I know I'm wrong. Still nervous. I have a nice sense of humor. I don't know. If somebody have a problem with that, let me know. You can wait for me outside. When come to the other part of the story is when Jesus come to the scene. So this four person, one of them, let's say one of them, know about Jesus. And he say, you know what, my friend? We're going to take you to somebody who can change your life. You know, my friend, we're going to take you to somebody who can change your whole life. From paralytic, the need to be done everything. You know, a person who's in the on their bed, and people have to do things for them, cleaning, washing, everything. And somebody say, hey, you know what? I know somebody who can change your life. You know what? I know somebody can change your whole world. And today, maybe we don't see the paralytic like the one cannot move. We can say the paralytic, they have nothing in their heart. They got empty heart. That their life don't have any reason. Sometimes they look at themselves and say, who am I? What am I here for? I don't have no reason to live. And one of those men came to this person and said, hey, I know somebody who can change your life. So, like I said before, they put it together. I said, let's take it to Jesus. They overcome all the obstacles. They go to the roof, and they open the roof. I don't know, one of you guys invite you to have a service at your house, and everybody decide that day to go, and we only have five crackers because nobody used to go to those house services. But that day, everybody decide to go. So, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So put more water on the soap so everybody can have some. And then you hear some noise on your roof. Somebody's up in your roof and say, what's going on here? So they decide to lay down the paralytic all the way to front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw that, and I come up with some question. What did Jesus saw? Jesus saw four men helping this fifth one that was in need, and they need something from Jesus. The other question that I asked was, what caught Jesus' attention? The paralytics, the hole on the roof, or the decision that those four men did? And one thing that touched my heart is the way that Jesus called that person, my son, my son. And my question is, how many people are hungry out there? Not hungry of the stomach hunger, hunger of life, hunger of something happened, hunger that have something different, hunger that somebody come and tell something different. I don't know in the States, but in Puerto Rico, the economy is going down. In 1950s to the 60s, more than 100,000 Puerto Ricans moved out of Puerto Rico looking for something different for their life, for their family. Now, from the 2010 to up to 2014, more than 60,000 professional Puerto Ricans are moving out of Puerto Rico looking for something better for the family. In our land, the economy is doing hard. It's struggling. We're struggling. No jobs. No. The criminality is high. People are doing anything to get what they want or what they need. And it's a lot of people waiting for us to tell, hey, I got the answer for your problem. I got the answer for your hunger. I got the answer for your worries. Maybe I don't have the money in my pocket to pay your mortgage, but I have something better. I have the truth, and the truth is Jesus. So when Jesus saw those four men going down from the roof and bringing this paralytic to the front, Jesus say, hey, the faith of those four men is enough to get what you need. And the first thing they call is my son. Jesus saw us as their son. Jesus saw us as the person, the most important person in our life. Jesus saw us as the creator. We are the image. So I don't know if God is Latin or is American, but for my purposes, it's Latin. You know why? And they're going to be playing rock on the heaven. No. Remember Moses? Moses was at the desert. And what he saw? A salsa was on fire. They didn't say rock. They say salsa. So you better start playing, you know. Learn a little salsa if you want to play in heaven. I just... Okay. I invite you to Puerto Rico for a long-term time. So. I'm not stealing it. I just invited him. And because you're the leader, you can take the whole group, so no problem. I'm not stealing it. I'm just inviting them. So when God in Genesis 1:26 said, let's make the man our image. So every time you walk outside of this place, people have to see in us his image. So I was chatting with David and Lisa. I said, if I spend maybe 2-3 months, I lose my tan, if you call this tan. I can show you how white I am. I'm white. So if I lose my tan, I get white. If I don't open my mouth, I shape. Maybe I can put some contact glasses, blue contact glasses. If I don't open my mouth, I can pass by an American person. But as soon as I open my mouth, my accent comes out, and they will say, you're different. And if you use that sample as a Christian life, it's the same. We can be look like, I like those guys, you know. We can be look like everybody. When you guys open your mouth, you have to make the difference. We as a Christian, we have to make the difference on the people that are among us. when we get to the places, we have to make the difference. When somebody look at the crowd, look, that lady is different. You got something different. What you have? And that's, we call in Spanish, el pie forzado. You know, rappers, they improvise. They give a key tune, and they improvise. So that's what we call el pie forzado. They improvise. That's the key tune. What you got different? Let me improvise. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Jesus is my man. I'm bad at that, so. You know, when I sing at the church, I notice that my microphone is always low. I don't know why. And I say, is there a problem with the microphone? I don't hear myself. And they're laughing. And we have on the second floor of the church, they have the things. What our brother there is. I told him to find a button that have a man voice. You know, so he's doing a good job. I hear myself. Okay. So we have to take any advantage, any point, any space that they open so we can do something different. And I have 5 minutes. I want to do something. I'm crazy, so I hope the pastor forgive me. Do we bring our stuff? Oh, it's over there. So, around the corner, okay. I'm going to sit in secret. Nobody listen to me. So, I got plan A and plan B. Plan A was to preach and speak. Plan B is, if they don't get what I'm saying because of my accent, I'm going to improvise. You see, I got my translator there. And in my church, we have deacons. I asked David, we have elders here. So I want to ask two elders to come forward. If you don't come, I know two. So I saw DJ around here. DJ is still here? In the back. Come over. And can you come over? Aaron. Where's Aaron? Come over, Aaron. How you doing? You want to go back to Puerto Rico to paint the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. He's a great painter. And the other one is there. Come over too. He was the guy who gave us a little susto. ¿Cómo dice susto? Scared a little, but doctor took care good of him, and they were fun. So I call this a mat. In my version, say bed, but we've been sharing last night, and we decide the right word will be mat. So you want to take it for that corner? DJ, you want to take it for the other corner? And the elder, not because you are going to call you elder, because that's your title. No, nothing. Let's put it down. Aaron, and you want to sit down there? Roll it a little. Roll it. Okay, now you sit here. Both of you. Those sticks should be sure enough, strong enough. You know why? You remember why Jesus said that we have to be like a kid to get in heaven? You remember that part of the verse? Huh? Not because they're light, because they trust. If I ask you, an adult, to sit in here and say, next time. Or if you decide to, you will come over and check that everything is very strong and the stick are heavy, they're not cracked. But the kid, they didn't ask. I said, jump over, and they did. And I know dad is here, but if dad will be on the chair, it will be, oh my God, my kids are in that mat. I hope that doesn't broke. I hope to that too, so. So when we've been called to be part of the Jesus business, when we be called to carry people to Jesus' feet, this is what we are. We have little kids. Little kids are people who doesn't know Jesus. When the first time they opened the heart to Jesus, we call the first 72 hours of the spiritual life of that person. You know, when the child's born, the first 72 hours are the crucial time for that baby born. It's the same thing in the spiritual life. When the people accept Jesus as a Savior, the first 72 hours, all the hell move against that person to try to steal the seed that had been planted with the word of Jesus. So, we have to be very careful if we want to say, Lisa's there, but it's empty spot. So, let's say we want to get to that crowd over there, the family over there, and we need to carry, and all the chairs are busy. So, the kids are there. So, we have to be very careful so we can lift the mat and try to get over and over to get there. And if you see it, it's almost impossible. Unless we move the chairs and we can walk through. If we lift it too hard, then we can have those kids get hurt. And we don't want that. It's the same thing. We've been called to take people to the front of Jesus without getting hurt. So our call or our responsibility is to have a mat. Thank you, guys. Let me put it down. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Kaden. Kaden, I was with Kay. But you know, thank you, guys. You know, every one of us have one of those. You know? Do you know that you have one of those? This is yours. Your mat is the word of God. Your mat is what the Bible said. You know that you are what the Bible say you are. You know that you can be what the Bible said that you can be. You know that you can reach what the Bible said that you can reach. So this is your mat. From now on, you have to take a look around you. How many people are paralytics? And not in the literally sense. You know what I mean. I decide not to use that word because that convert and muletilla. Like a, yeah, you know what I'm saying, but I want them to. We are not alone here. Muletilla. When you use a word too many often to substitute, when you don't know what you're going to say, you say, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know those people that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And at the end, I say, I don't know what you're saying. So, so huh? Crutch. Let's see. I like that. So, every one of us have a mat. And from now on, we have to, and we be called to, carry the people, not up to the crowd. Everybody's looking to the front, yeah? You don't know what's going on. I saw a guy walk back and forth back there, but you don't see it. You know, that happened with the people at the house with Jesus. They were so involved with the program. They were so involved with the things that the church have to do. They were so involved in the activities around us that we lose the sight of those ones who are in need. So because they could not get to the Jesus because of the crowd, they went up to the roof. Outside is a lot of people that they need us. They need the word of God. They need the love of God. They need to, can we play that song again? Take me to the place. Wrap me in your arms. Can we do that? Can you read it now? I'm asking. No.
Do whatever you want.
Huh?
I'll do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. I like those guys. He won the invitation to Puerto Rico. Definitely. So, my mission is to deliver a message. And my wife, she's a teacher as a professional, said that I have to do the pedagogy closing. In conclusion. I mean, I have 2 minutes after I say, in conclusion. In conclusion, we need to. We have to. The Lord is desperate. He's expecting us to take people to his feet. And we need, as a person, as a child of God, as a Christian, find that secret place. If we don't have the anointing of the Lord, our life will be equal or worse than the ones outside. So we have, in a daily basis, in a 24/7, we have to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. Can we play? Can we? It's too many times sit down. I don't know how many of you want to commit yourself to bring people to the feet of Jesus. To bring those people that are in need. How many friends you know that they want to take their life away? How many you know that live a miserable life? And we have the truth and we have the man that we can say, hey, lay down here. I will take it no matter what to the feet of Jesus. I don't know how many want to make a commitment today, but the Lord is expecting an answer. Not me, not the pastor ring. The Lord is expecting an answer from you guys.